This is Debbie Romer. Today's story comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the Common English Bible Translation. Today we'll be reading Luke 5, verses 1 through 16. One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in and around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he asked Simon, "Row out a little further into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boats to come and help them. They filled both boats so fully that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus was in one of the towns where there was also a man covered with a skin disease. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged, "Lord, if you want, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do want to. Be clean." Instantly, the skin disease left him. Jesus ordered him not to tell anyone. Instead, Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses instructed. This will be a testimony to them." News of him spread even more, and huge crowds gathered to listen and to be healed from their illnesses. But Jesus would withdraw to deserted places for prayer. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for that reading of the Word. Well, this one was really fun for me to write. Sometimes people say, like, how do you come up with what you want to do a sermon on? And all Sarah said was, well, we're just doing prayer. This summer, we're just focusing on prayer. And so I thought, well, why not use one of the things I'm trying to learn more about, which is neuroscience and brain activity, and how does this really affect us? So that's what I decided. We'd take a look at Jesus, prayer, and neuroscience. All right. The place where I started is just thinking about what prayer does truly to our body, mind, and spirit, and it truly can lead to greater peace, compassion, and resilience. So then I thought of this slogan, "Your brain on prayer." I kind of like it. So imagine this scene. We're going to imagine a couple scenes in our minds. Imagine someone is stranded because they ran out of gas, and imagine they were driving from here in Evergreen to Red Rocks Amphitheater, but they're taking the scenic route down Highway 74 through Kittredge and Idledale, and then somewhere around Halfway Rock, the car slowly comes to a stop. Now, ironically, I drove that way up here this morning because I wanted to just feel that scenery, and I live just down in Littleton. And I did see a car stopped on the side of the road with the hazard lights on, but a person was nowhere in sight. Well, that Halfway Rock is only about a mile and a half from Red Rocks Amphitheater. So you're thinking, oh no, I've run out of gas and I don't have my phone because I left it at my brother's house and I'm meeting my brother and his spouse for this concert. They're bringing me my phone. So, wow. You're kind of stuck. So most of us would have a little stream of consciousness thinking like, oh, this is my fault. I didn't check how much gas I had. I've been busy all week. I just didn't even think about this. Then, I don't want to miss the concert. This is a band I love. And I'm supposed to meet my brother, and he won't know where I am. I can't be late to meet them. I don't have my phone. Well, by this time, your mind is racing. Your heart is beating faster. Logical solutions are not top of mind. Well, consider the power of prayer in this situation. So you decide to pause for a moment and close your eyes. You breathe slow and deep for about 10 rounds of breath. Your cortisol, the stress hormone, starts to reduce. You connect mind, body, and spirit as you seek wisdom through your prayer. God, allow me to find a solution. Help me be present in the moment. Provide me with peace and calm as I know I can find a way. The relational presence with God quiets our amygdala, the fear center in our brain. So you open your eyes, you decide to put your hazard lights on, and you get out of the car. You know you can walk. You've looked at a map before you left, but you also know you could flag someone down and you will likely pass someone on that way down toward Red Rocks. So you begin to walk, and no more than a quarter of a mile down, someone does stop and ask if you need a lift. You ask them if they can drop you at your meeting spot, a gas station, ironically, where you planned to meet your brother and his family. So you make it to the concert and they drive you back to your vehicle with gas in a can on the way home. You did it. Now, in another scenario, imagine when you know there will be an ongoing period of time that requires some unknown timing and grief and care for many other people. This might be in the case of a loved one who is now on hospice care. One way prayer might be helpful for the loved ones who are saying goodbye to the person who is dying is through the practices of empathy and intercession. Compassion-based meditation, often called intercessory prayer, is all about praying on behalf of another person. It allows us to align with the person and the situation and connect our energy and co-regulate our nervous systems. So when we align our breathing and our focus of prayer to the peace of another person, it increases activity in our anterior cingulate cortex. I did have to look that up. It's the place in our brain that's connected to empathy and social connection. In essence, it expands our compassion. For the person who is dying in this situation, there is a powerful connection in the brain through prayers of lament and surrender. This is akin to what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he knew he would be crucified. He poured out his emotions in prayer, and he said that he wanted God to take this cup from him. He surrendered when he said he was prepared to lay down his life for the sake of others. Naming emotions in prayer activates our ventrolateral prefrontal cortex, which actually reduces the intensity of emotional pain. If we can invite and make space for the one who is dying or who needs care to have times for prayers of lament and surrender, it may support them as they begin to transfer from this life into their eternal life with Christ. One invitation could be to offer to read some of the Psalms with them. Well, Jesus offers us glimpses into his prayer life and his life of healing and miracles, as we just heard about in Luke 5. We get two of his stories. So the first story, when he's out at the lake and a large crowd was coming near to hear God's word, Simon says, they have worked all night, the fishermen. So if they have worked all night, we believe it is probably around sunrise, early in the morning. The fishermen are washing their nets on the shores. Jesus gets in Simon's boat and asks him to push out a little bit from the shore. One of the unspoken parts of his physical movement away from the crowd may have been to keep himself regulated. He was ready to teach, and he was not trying to be interrupted by questions and pleas for help. So he rows out, he's in the boat, He puts his faith into action then after he teaches when he asks Simon to row out a little farther into the deep water and drop his net for a catch. I think we would all be thinking what Simon said aloud. Basically, we've already tried everything and we've given up. And Jesus asks him to do two things. Number one, row out to the deep water. And number two, try again. In our prayers, do we expect instant gratification? I know it's hard, maybe now more than ever, because so many things are instantaneous. We literally don't even have to wait on packages anymore. They come the next day. So this thought of wait a little longer or try again is one of our prayerful reminders as a prayer practice. Jesus constantly reminds people to look deeper for deeper meaning, for deeper relationships, for deeper engagement. And he invites people to look again, to see again, to notice something new. There is power in the practice of seeking new perspectives and in the practice of perseverance. Once this enormous catch of fish is brought in, the ones who would become disciples were amazed. Simon Peter fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord, leave me, for I am a sinner." And yet, Jesus replies in a very unique way. He says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." Fear. How often is fear something that keeps us from taking action? Fear is the part of our brain that keeps us safe. And Jesus, being fully in the present moment, says, "Do not be afraid." Truly, Jesus is working on their brain's neuroplasticity by strengthening their neural pathways associated with successful emotional regulation. The converse is also true. If you work on building those successful neural pathways, it will weaken the pathways associated with that impulsive behavior, like fear, kind of our fight or flight behavior. People can actually improve their ability to regulate those emotions. So the disciples are now with Jesus, and they go into town where a man had a skin disease. And the man begs, "Lord, if you want, you can make me clean." Well, Jesus reaches out to touch him and says, "I do want to. Be clean." The skin disease clears, and Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest and make an offering as a testimony to Moses in honoring the traditional religion." After this miracle, Jesus encountered huge crowds who gathered to listen and be healed from their illnesses. And then the most important line that we all need to hear, but Jesus would withdraw to deserted places for prayer. Well, the essential functions of prayer include the following. For connection and communion, which has a focus on relational presence with God and others. For discernment and decision making, which is to gain greater clarity and alignment. For gratitude and grounding, this is rewiring the brain toward joy and trust. For intercession and empathy, to be more compassionate and other-focused. And for lament and surrender, bringing our pain without shame to reduce the emotional intensity. Well, human wellness has become a passion of mine as I've been getting older and seeing the toll life is taking on people in every age group. There is a deep well for us to draw on through our prayer life that will affect and produce effects in every area of our lives. Spiritually, this is maybe the more obvious area where we consider benefits produced by prayer. By spending dedicated time in connected moments with nature or in kind of a meditative state of prayer, our inner life grows and expands like a sourdough starter. mentally cultivating a pattern of how you begin, stay in, and end your prayer time, it can help your brain start to automate this process. So one of the automations I work on in the car, especially as I'm driving to take and pick up my three kids from activities, is to slow my breathing and be in a state of wonder about the landscape around me and how the sky looks. I intentionally focus also on the cars on the road, but on the landscape and the sky, because it is so unique and interesting, especially here where we live. This takes me to a more mindful state of being. So it almost automates my prayer and mindfulness time in the car. And then physically, prayer alters our physical bodies. I hadn't quite considered this as much as the spiritual and mental aspects of prayer. However, all of the brain connectivity pieces have convinced me that our bodies are probably the most changed by prayer. Lowering stress and having periods of deep breathing create bodily changes that can lower blood pressure, reduce tension points in the body, and increase the quality of sleep. Prayer rewires us as human beings. It truly is one of the miracle practices of Jesus. Well, if we are to follow Jesus in his life of prayer, what should we be doing? How should we go about creating habits that then produce lasting transformational outcomes? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I am on this journey with you. I mean, truly, I'm not sure if any of us will feel like we've gotten this. I still feel like a beginner in practicing the ways of Jesus. But that is the point. We practice. You might be in the midst of practicing Jesus's ways as well. Jesus prayed before big decisions. Jesus prayed alone and took time away from people. Jesus prayed for others and asked them to pray with him. And Jesus was open to prayer changing his heart and mind. And this morning I'll end with Jesus' words. He says, when you pray, because he knows we will do this, when you pray. Well, when you pray, I pray you are connected to your true self. Amen.